Welcome to the Wise Women Diaries podcast. This is where shame and victimhood die. I am a woman that questions everything, so this podcast is a reflection of that. Here, we speak on non-mainstream perspectives, like how children are the biggest teachers, how to turn pain to wisdom, and the journey of learning to trust ourselves. We discuss what it looks like to own our power as a woman and question the medical paradigm. That's why I am obsessed with interviewing women who trust their bodies and babies in home birth and free birth. Ultimately, this podcast is for women who question the status quo, but are dedicated to thriving and learning how to take radical responsibility for their life and shed victimhood for good.
Hi, I'm Blake. I am a 4-6 generator. My sun sign is in Cancer. I have a moon in Leo, and my rising is in Sagittarius. My journey to motherhood has been a very long and windy road, but it has also been the catalyst for me living a very aligned and purposeful life. I truly believe that all the fertility challenges I have faced have guided me to live in my truth. I now know with certainty that we choose certain experiences and lessons to learn and expand from in this life. It's hard to see the reason why we're in it, but I have witnessed way too many magic moments to not believe it's all for a bigger reason. My motherhood journey led me to find my purpose in this life. I am a steward of children. I believe children already come in as spiritual beings, and I just help guide them to remember who they are. When I started my company, Conscious Kiddos, it began with teaching children mindfulness tools to tune in to their own inner knowings. And since then, it has evolved, and I am now also a birth doula, helping women and families go through that birth portal, which is so beautiful. And I also empower future parents to connect to their spirit babies prior to their earthly arrival. I also just recently published my first children's book. It's called Ember's Magical Journey, and it's all about the journey of the soul. And I feel like it's a key to unlock a remembering within children, as well as their parents who read it. If you want to find out more about my company and a little bit about my personal life, my Instagram is at conscious_kiddos. So that, yeah, that's me.
You already had me crying. Yeah, you can start your story wherever you want to start it then.
I always knew that I wanted to be a mother in this lifetime. It started when I was really young. I loved playing with baby dolls and was always very, I think instead of like a career, I just knew I wanted to be a mom when I was a kid. I actually started working with children when I was only like 13, and I've worked with them my whole life. And so, yeah, it just felt like really in my nature to like mother and nurture and care for other beings. And it's just always come really naturally to me. And I'm also a triple Cancer, so just feel like that's a big part of, you know, the very, like, nurturing motherly role. And, yeah, just feels like a big part of my life. When I was only 19, I decided to go into a career so that I could be, like, a stay-at-home mom but also work. So I went into photography so I could do it in the evenings and on the weekends, and it was honestly for that reason. I was like, oh, because I could still mom. And it was just something I always knew and just, yeah, always felt really very important and part of my journey. So I guess I just always assumed it would be easy and, you know, just happen when I was young. But obviously that wasn't my journey and my path. And so I ended up meeting my first husband when I think I was only 23 when we met. So I was pretty young. And we got married in 2016. And right away I was like, all right, let's make babies. Like, I'm ready. And, I was 26 at the time. So I was healthy, I was young, and I just thought it would be really easy. And, so we began that journey, and it ended up being about 2.5 years without conceiving at all. And along that time, like, we did all the testing and, you know, went to the doctors and all the stuff, but something in me just knew I didn't want to go the, like, medical route. And so I chose not to. And I was like, you know, if a baby's supposed to come, like, I'm just trusting that they will. And we actually even, because I think I was just, I've always been kind of impatient as well. My mom will laugh at that one. And so I was like, well, if it's not happening naturally, like, let's look into a foster. So we did, like, classes, and we actually ended up even fostering a little girl for, she was like only a couple weeks old. We fostered her for a little bit, but obviously it didn't work out, and she found another home, which is really, you know, beautiful. So I think that time for me was really hard. I was really struggling. I was like, something's wrong with me. I'm broken. And I just really went into that mindset. And I was just like, I don't know why it's not working. And I remember back then, you know, I was so young, and all my friends from high school were having babies really easily, and most of them were whoopsies. And I was just like, why is it happening so easily for everyone else? So I just kind of went into, like, I think, and our relationship started kind of, like, deteriorating over that time too. And, you know, I was feeling really distant from him, and we were, not really feeling like we were in the partnership together anymore. And so at this point, it has been about 2.5 years. In 2019, one of my dear friends invited me to this Divine Feminine retreat in Mount Shasta. And I was already on the spiritual path. I was, you know, like, I had been on a healing journey since I was about 23. And so I was just like, yeah, let's do it. And I went to this retreat, and that was, like, my huge awakening. That was when everything, like, came online, and I was just like, okay, you know, I'm, like, I felt home in my body for the first time. I felt, like, just, like, lit after that weekend, just so excited for life. And then I came home after and honestly felt awful. Like, I had so much anxiety, and I was just like, something's wrong. Like, this isn't good. And so that was kind of the big catalyst. And I was also in my Saturn return at the time. So I had just turned 29. So of course it makes sense now. I came home and ended up talking to my husband, and was just like, I think I need, like, a separation. Like, something's off. Like, and before that, that wasn't even in my mind. And so, it was honestly that weekend. I was just like, boom, I'm awake now. Things aren't aligned. And so we got separated. I quit my job that I was working at. I started meditating every day. I deleted all my social media at the time. I also went, like, not vegan, but, like, vegetarian. And I was like, I just need a detox from everything. And so, it was, it was interesting time, but, like, really hard. But honestly, I was, like, feeling the most aligned I had ever felt. So it was also really beautiful. And people were just like coming into my life all of a sudden that were in alignment. And yeah, it was just a really beautiful time for me. And also I was getting divorced and that was really hard too. And so there was like this weird balance of like honoring the sadness of that relationship and that ending. And also, yeah, just like really excited for what was to come and what was going to start shifting in my life. And so then I went on like a really deep healing journey and just like really inward and focusing on myself and what I wanted in this life and who I wanted to be and what my purpose was going to be. And then 2020 happened. So it was all like right before the like the rest of the world had to go through that. So I'm kind of glad I did it a little bit prior, because when that happened, I was like in a really good place. And I was just like, oh, I'm loving that I can just be alone right now and inward. And I wasn't mad about the world shutting down, to be honest. I'm already like introverted, so.
How were you feeling at this time with now being separated from your husband and now there's no chance of you becoming a mom in this phase of your life? So it's like you have to let go of this huge dream, but you're also seeing things from this spiritual, like wider lens for the first time. So how did that feel?
That's a good question. I honestly, because I had to go through all of our stuff after he had moved out and through the whole house and find, you know, his stuff that was still there. And it was when I found the baby stuff that I had gotten that I like fully broke down and cried and was just like, yeah, it was like, oh, I have to let go of this part, which, you know, like was, yeah, almost harder for me. It was like, something that I just wanted so badly. And so there was a piece of me that really struggled with that. And there was even times during that time when I was alone that I was like, maybe I could just do it on my own. And, you know, like I'll still just become a mother, you know? But then there was this other piece that was like, no, I'm pretty sure, like, in, you know, like a internal knowing that there was someone else out there for me that was meant to be my baby daddy, I guess you could say. So, I was like something that I struggled with a lot, honestly, in the beginning, is letting go of that piece. And, And then I just kept, you know, on this path, and there was a lot of like sadness and happiness and all of the above and feeling just like trying to learn who I was, I guess. And and then through that, the idea of Conscious Kiddos came. And I just was like, all the healing tools that I've ever learned in my own journey to healing, because I had really bad anxiety when I was a kid, just from my own childhood. And I was really sensitive. And so, yeah, I really struggled as a child. And so I was like, if I had all these tools when I was young, it would just be so much easier. And so I already loved working with kids. So I was like, I think I need to bring these tools to them. And so that was how the idea started. And I remember being really nervous though, to like, cause I like started a new Instagram for it and all of my like past friendships and stuff like that. I was like, or just people in my life or my family even, I was like, they're going to think I'm so weird and I'm going to be like, you know, I'm woo woo and all the funny things that we say when we're on the spiritual path. And, but there was, it was just like, I couldn't hide who I actually was anymore. So I did it and I'm really happy I did because it's evolved so much and I'm just, yeah, just living a very beautiful, like purposeful life now. So it's lovely. But yeah. And then again, during that time, I was still feeling really called to be a mother. I was honest, like having experiences with my spirit babies and connecting with them and having visions and dreams of them. And I was just like, all right, well, if you want to come in, you're going to have to help me find your daddy. And yeah, so I started kind of, I think it was about a year and a half after the divorce, I was like, okay, I'm feeling ready to call in a partner. And my best friend actually is, she's like an empowered matchmaker. So she helps people to like love themselves in order to attract the love they deserve. So it's, I just got, you know, just being her best friend, I got like free advice all the time, and she would have me do the same practices as her clients. And so then I, yeah, started like really focusing on that. And it's funny enough, she actually was the one who met my partner first and then called me and told me that she found him. And I was like, oh. And it was in Mount Shasta too, which is just interesting because that was definitely, at that point I had been going, after that awakening, I had been going like all the time, like at least once a month, if not more. And so that was my happy place, the place to get out of the city. I lived in Sacramento at the time. And so, yeah, he was on a road trip and from Pennsylvania and had a calling to go to Shasta as well. And then, so we met there. And literally, it sounds super cheesy, but as soon as we saw each other, it was just this like instant remembering, and it felt like home. And there was just like no questions or like no, yeah, there was nothing to like, we didn't even know anything about each other, but the whole first day we were together, we didn't ask like, what siblings do you have? What do you do for work? Like, we were just like being together and remembering each other. And it was one of the most like profound, beautiful experiences I've ever had. So I think I knew right away, and so did he, and we've talked about this often, like that was it. And, yeah. And so now we've been together 3 years. So it hasn't been that long, but a lot has happened in those 3 years, of course.
Do you want to share the baby soul story from like the day you guys met? Or what was that? I'm here for those. Yeah, I'm here for those stories.
The only thing is, well, I guess it makes sense because my book is Ember's Magical Journey. So it is about that, but we're pregnant with a boy. So I'm like, she didn't come first.
Yeah. And we know the perspectives of baby souls where, you know, a baby soul might be a guide for all your other children and they might not ever come to human form. You know, we don't know. We're only given certain information. We don't know the rest.
Okay. So yeah. And then on the day that we met, a really magical moment happened too. It just felt like clarity. I had already been tuning in to, you know, our children, like I had said, and one specifically, like our daughter came through very vividly all the time. And I had had a name for her picked out for a while, or a name that she had sent me, it felt like. And so we were getting water at the headwaters in Mount Shasta. It's like the most yummy, magical water. And this little girl came up to me with a ladybug on her arm, and she was kind of messing with it and like showing it to my dog. And also, by the way, ladybugs are how my spirit baby comes through too. And so I was just like, oh, you know, like talking to her. And then all of a sudden her dad calls her over, and it's the name of Art, my spirit baby. And so I was just like, in that moment, I was like, okay, this is like showing me that these souls, like the children that we are meant to have, can help guide us to do and be and like, you know, come together with certain people. And so it just felt like in that moment, like they were like so excited that I finally, you know, had met their dad and we were like reunited, and it was pretty cool moment. And I was just like, I didn't tell my husband until later on, but maybe I don't even think that long though in, like maybe a month in, because we knew, you know, quickly. So So that was just a cool little moment. Yeah, and so I think with us, you know, he also started, he had had dreams of specifically a daughter as well, before even meeting me. And then once we were together, we, like, it was heightened. Like, both of us were having a lot more experiences, and with a son and with a daughter. And we were just like, okay, I guess these souls want to come through, like, even though we haven't been together very long. And so we decided to, like, start our journey together, like conscious conception. And we were really intentional about it. And we ended up, we weren't ready to, like, do the big wedding thing, but we were like, let's just do, like, a ceremony for us, like prayers for our love, and that we're, like, committed and we're in this together, and that, yeah, we're ready to bring in a soul, you know, together in a life. And so it was only, I think, yeah, like 11 months after we had met that we did our ceremony. And then we started trying right away. So that was May of 2022. And I guess because I was just like, yep, this is it. I assumed it was going to be really easy for us to conceive. And then, of course, it wasn't. And, you know, there was more to my journey and more to my lessons. And I remember that first month after that, when we weren't pregnant, I was just like, I had, like, a really big breakdown, because I was like, it was bringing up all the past experiences for me. And for him, that was his very first time trying to get pregnant in his whole life. So it wasn't a big deal. But for me, it brought up a lot of emotions and the past experiences. And I was just like, I don't want to go through this again. Like, I don't want the heartbreak again. And so I had to move through that. And that was, like, I think part of it too for me. And just really, like, trusting my spirit baby. So then, you know, we moved through that experience, and, you know, I had to just kind of surrender and just, like, learn to really trust and tune in and connect with my spirit babies more, and, like, listen to their guidance and, like, know that it's not going to be on my timeline and not going to be, you know, like, they get to choose. It's the souls involved too. So they get to choose when they come in, and it's super important for them. And so, it's like, as hard as it was also, I learned so much about the journey of souls and how we choose to come in and when and why and for what reasons, you know, like, we all have different experiences we want to have. And I think some of these kids that are coming in now, or a lot of them, are waiting and initiating their parents before, because they don't want the karma. They don't want, I mean, they're still going to have to go through things and have karma, of course, but they don't want to go through the, like, really hard trials and tribulations that maybe we went through. And so, yeah, they're, like, initiating us prior. And I know, like, for you, you know, it's been, like, a really long journey too. And so it's just, yeah, I can tell that you've learned that lesson too, of, like, you're doing this because of that.
Yeah, it's so beautiful, because we don't know how this is all going to pan out. All of these conscious humans, mothers, conscious parents are going to be teaching and are teaching their children who they are from day one of birth. You are a divine human. And this is going to bypass so much human suffering. Not all of it, because that's why we're here. We're here to feel the dark and the light, because that's the duality of Earth. In the spirit realms, there is no duality. There is no darkness. On Earth, that's what our experience is. And so these children are going to come in and have pain and suffering and lessons, but not to the degree that we have had or our parents have had. And so conscious parents that are teaching their children who they are from day one, like, we can't even imagine what these children are going to flourish into and what this earth can flourish into and what this earth can become with all these children kind of remaining intact in a way. It's so exciting.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think that's the biggest thing that I try to teach parents too, is like not turning off that, you know, because they're so connected and so like they do know. They know everything. Like, they have so much to teach us. But I think a lot of times parents are like, I know better, and, you know, and they shut down, like if they're seeing imaginary friends or, you know, talking about an experience that maybe was a past life, and they're like, that's weird, like, you know, but it's real and it's so real for them. And so just continuing to let that part flourish and really let them be who they're here to be versus like making them who we want them to be.
Yeah. And this is why a lot of us are called to generational healing, because all of these patterns have been passed on. And when we look at our generational trauma, we're like, whoa, I didn't know that was there. And it is there. And if we, that's a part of being a cycle breaker, is the cycle ends with me. And that's what's happening at such a mass scale right now on the planet, is so many parents, so many humans are stopping the cycle of what their parents and their grandparents perpetuated. I think because the tools weren't there and the consciousness wasn't there. Our grandparents lived during wartime. Our grandparents were in survival. Like, they have lived through insane life conditions. And there weren't books about this. There weren't tools. There wasn't Instagram teaching you how to be conscious. There weren't these courses. And we have that. And we're the generation that is breaking these cycles, because we have the consciousness and we have the tools. And so then these baby souls are literally guiding us to this healing and to our authentic selves, the parents that they need for them to come in. It's so exciting.
Yeah, it really is. Like, that's something that feels so resonant. It's just, yeah, I would not be, you know, who I am right now and who I'm going to be as a mother if I had gotten pregnant at 26 and who I was then, you know, like, there's just no way. And maybe I could have awakened over time and things would have shifted, but they would have had to heal from that beginning phase where I wasn't, you know, there yet. And so, yeah, I'm just so grateful that they put me through all of this. You know, it's hard, but also it's, yeah, I'm just in such a better place and so much more aligned and so happy and, you know, feel, yeah, like I'm living in a really good way.
Yeah, we recognize, our souls recognize that the time was a gift. The time was the gift to flourish into being a conscious human, healing our shadows, our demons. And our ego at times was like, the time is a bad thing and I'm a victim to the time, all this waiting phase. But we've both kind of graduated from that. And I love meeting people like this.
Yeah. I mean, I was so grateful when you reached out, and, you know, it's just really cool to be able to share my story and, you know, with someone who's also been through a similar experience. And yeah, so thank you for having me here. It's been fun.
I love it so much. Where were you at in your story then? Because we kind of pivoted for a second, but that's what happens. That's the flow. And I love it. Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So now I'm into, you know, my journey with my current husband. And so it took us about 10 months and then we finally did conceive. And I was so excited. It was my first positive pregnancy test ever after, you know, technically 6 years of being ready and feeling like that was what I wanted. And so I was really excited and I honestly didn't have any fear. Like, I was just like, this is it. Our baby's coming. And yeah, that was also, that pregnancy was like the catalyst for us moving to Ashland. So as soon as I found out I was pregnant, I was like, I'm not raising children in the city. Like, I need to move to nature and live in the trees and, you know, frolic about. And so we, you know, I was leaving my hometown and packing up my house I had lived in for 13 years while I was in the first trimester, and it was not ideal. I was really stressed out, honestly. And so then we got to Ashland, and I was already 16 weeks, and then I started spotting. And at this point, I didn't do any ultrasounds. I was waiting till the 20-week anatomy scan. And so, yeah, I think I would have found out sooner, but obviously there was also a reason I needed to be in Ashland before it, I found out. And so, yeah, when I started spotting, at first I was like, it's fine, like, that can happen. But then that night I went to bed and I knew something was wrong. And so the next morning we went to go just to our midwife, or I asked my midwife to meet me to check for the heartbeat, and we couldn't find it. And so we went into the hospital and, yeah, found out that it was what they call a missed miscarriage. And so our baby, we were pregnant with a boy, and he had stopped growing at probably around 11 weeks, they think. And I was 16 weeks, so it had been a long time. And that part was really hard for me to wrap my head around, because I was just like, I felt so connected to him. And, you know, and what I realized, hindsight, was like, I was still connecting with him. I was talking to his soul. Like, I don't think that their souls even come in till later in the pregnancy anyway. And so I had to remind myself of that. But it was extremely hard, and my body didn't want to release it. Like, I think I was like, I had waited so long to get pregnant that there was just like, I'm not letting this baby go. And so I waited, still wasn't happening, and tried acupuncture and herbs and things to help induce, and nothing was working. And so I eventually decided to do misoprostol, which is, you know, a way they medicine they use to induce. And I don't regret doing it, but I also would never recommend it to anybody. It was awful. Just like, really, yeah, it ended up making the like, it worked. It, you know, it did what I wanted it to do, I guess, is help release the baby. But it was really, really intense, and no breaks in between contractions. I ended up bleeding out, and like, I went unconscious like 3 times, and it was just super, super intense. And I had, you know, I did it really intentionally and was at home with candles and everything, but ended up getting rushed to the hospital because of going unconscious. And so even during that experience, though, I feel like I understood it, because I, you know, I am spiritual and I was connected to the souls of my children. So I was like, I knew there was something in it for me, and also that soul had decided to do that. Like, there was a reason for them as well. And, but that doesn't go with, you know, obviously there was a ton of human emotions part of it too, and a lot of grief and a lot of sadness. And so I ended up going into like this like deep shadowy work type stuff, and kind of like the dark night of the soul, I guess. And it didn't happen until like a month after, I think, just because I was physically healing for a while. And but it was really good, because it was allowing me to feel all the grief, like all the sadness that I didn't ever feel as even as a child, you know, like I suppressed it when I was young. And so it was the hardest thing I've ever been through. And like, coming out of it about, I guess it was technically like 3 months after is when I started feeling like myself again. There was so much more wisdom and so much more light that came from that, you know, and that I learned about myself. And I think like one of the big things for me was I am a birth worker and I've helped other women through miscarriages prior to that experience, not really knowing what it's like and, you know, like what the depths of it are. And so for me, it felt like I had to go through it just so that I can really, really know what that is. And then going through the, like, it felt like postpartum depression / grief, you know? So then I also experienced that part. So I got to really know it, know all the experiences of, right, the long fertility journey and just not conceiving and thinking I was infertile, to then being like, okay, I can get pregnant, obviously, and then losing the baby. And, you know, so I kind of like, I know now that it was for a reason. And for me, it was like, I've learned an insane amount about who I am and how I want to show up in the world, and just like so much more heart-centered. And I think that experience like blasted me open, like my heart, in such a beautiful way, like cracked it open. Because I also had never known that like depth of pain either. But also like the depth of excitement. Cause like, right, like I was so excited to be a mom and loved that little being so much. And so, yeah. So that was that experience. And, you know, then I had to heal from that. But I knew that it wasn't over. And I was like, there's, you know, this, I felt like that soul was going to come back to me. And sometimes they just become a guide and, you know, get to watch over you. But I think the more than not, they come back. It's like, you know, sometimes it's just the timing or that body was wrong. And like, actually our bodies, like the female body, is so wise and knows when like the fetus isn't viable and it's not going to be like a viable pregnancy. And so they're so common, right? Like I think it's 1 in 4 pregnancies end in loss. So it's been interesting because it's something that I've talked about. Like, I think because I was so far along too, like everyone knew, so I couldn't not talk about it. But it was really helpful for me because I got to hear so many other women's stories by sharing mine. And some of them had never shared their story or never told anyone and had so much shame around it. And I got to like break that down for some people. And so that felt really, like important, because I don't want women to hold that shame of their losses and, you know, like, and reminding women that they're still a mother, even, you know, even if they've never conceived, you know, but they feel that spirit baby, or if they've had multiple losses and aren't holding their child in the physical, like, you're still a mother. And that just feels important for the world to remember, because I needed to hear that at the time, because I was like, if someone asked me, I don't have any children, you know. But I felt like I've been a mother for a very long time. And yeah, so after that, we took a break because I was really in the grief for a while. And I'm glad we did, because it gave my body some time to heal and all of that. And then we did end up conceiving again about 6 months after the miscarriage. And I am currently pregnant, and I'm 17 weeks, which is really interesting timing, because I was 17 weeks for the actual miscarriage. And so I'm like, it's a little not a coincidence probably that I get to share this story at the same week that I was when we lost our first son. And I am pregnant with a boy again. And I do really feel like it's the same soul. And so it's just really, really beautiful. And not gonna lie, I've been fearful during the pregnancy, but also just like, yeah, it's not my journey, right? Like, even when our children are here in the present, like, or in the physical, like, we don't get to control that journey, and we don't we don't know how long they're gonna have, like, you know. So it's just a really big lesson in letting go and surrendering to every, you know, the life path.
Yeah, I'm very curious if you want to speak on connecting with your baby soul the second time around in pregnancy, because a very common path is that after loss, women are very afraid to connect, attach to the new pregnancy. My friends and I, my friend had a miscarriage last year, and we had this conversation about how it's really easy for the ego mind to shut off love and that attachment from the baby in the fear of future pain. That's the easiest thing to do. It's the easiest thing to do. But if a baby is, this always makes me cry. I've never miscarried, but I feel it so deep. If a baby is in the mother's body for 6 weeks, 10 weeks, 30 weeks, they're there. Their soul is so close, and they are there giving you love and connection. And can we receive that? Even though we're scared of losing the physical pregnancy. And if they did leave, there would be so much regret with not connecting with them while they were there. And so I always keep death present. I had my dad tragically died when I was 12 or 13, which reoriented my life to see the shadow and light of death, is that if you can use death as a gift to keep you so present in not taking life for granted, it can really reorient how you live daily. And so if a baby were to leave in a time we don't want them to leave, but we would regret not connecting with them and not receiving the love from them while they were here. But our ego wants to say, no, I can't attach, I can't connect, because what if something happens? It's a really deep thing. And I just feel like there's this huge difference between our ego that wants to prevent pain, prevent loss, even though it can't, it has no control. And then our soul that is so wise, and our soul wants to receive love. It wants to give love. It wants to connect.
Just first off, we have a lot of synchronicities. My dad also died when I was 13. So that's really interesting. And it was really sudden and intense. And, you know, so just, you know, cool that we are merging and get to talk about this together.
Wow.
So yeah, I've also experienced death a lot in my life, not just with him, like so many people. And so I was really close to death, and I'm not scared of death, like, at least for myself. But of course, with certain people, you're like, you're attached to them and you love them and you want them here in the physical. So like exactly what you were saying is how I was feeling. I was going back and forth. I was feeling the fear and trying to protect myself. And then I was also like, but I get to love and enjoy this. Like, I get to be excited, you know, like, even if there's potential for them to not stay, like, I deserve to be happy and like love this baby while they are here, you know, and they deserve that too. And so, yeah, I did. I definitely went back and forth, and I was really honest with people about my fears, and that was helpful because they would remind me, like, it's okay to be excited too, even if you have fear. Like, you can hold both. And so, so I held both, and I was like, okay, I'm a little scared and I'm really excited. But, you know, yeah, there's definitely that piece that's like wants to protect yourself from getting hurt again and that heartbreak. So, yeah, I felt that.
I've noticed that even with the preconception journey, where there were some months where I was connecting with my baby spirit so much. And then when I wasn't pregnant, I was so sad. And I saw myself have the choice of, do you want to reel in that connection from them for your selfish needs? Or do you want to be a true mother and put your selfishness aside and connect with them because they might need the connection with their mother when they're heading to Earth, when they're like making that vortex of a journey? You know, they want that support and that connection. And so even in that, I've even seen this energy dynamic. I've never been pregnant or miscarried, but it feels similar to preconception is, oh no, I don't want to connect with them. I don't want to, because I could be way more sad. But this duality of this life is that we can hold so much sadness and so much excitement, so much sadness and so much hope. And that's what a lot of us have learned in our journey, is that we can hold both. That's the duality of the human life.
I was where you were at for so long. And I remember thinking, I'm like, I prefer it to just not get pregnant, right? Like, I don't want to go through the miscarriage part, like, because there's so many women who their experience is a lot of miscarriages back to back to back, right? And but they know they can get pregnant. So I was like, I don't know, like, that part seems scary, right? And so I was like, it's okay that you're not coming yet, because I would rather just stay in this part. But there's, yeah, it's just, like, it feels the same. Like, it feels like a loss each month, you know? Like, there's definitely that. Like, because you're hoping and longing and connecting with them. And you're just like, oh, but they're not actually coming, or they're not here, you know? So, yeah, it's interesting, like, how I think, because we already are mothers. We already know that they're there. We feel them so deeply that it can feel that way, you know? So.
Yeah, your journey is so beautiful, and it's so resonant to mine, because it really is the maiden to mother journey prior to having a child. Like, immature feminine energy, where we're a victim and, you know, we want everyone else to tell us who to be or what to do to get pregnant. And then through awakening, we have matured and blossomed into the mature feminine energy, which is, she knows who she is. She can hold pain and love, and grief and love, and sadness and hope. The mother can hold it all.
Yeah. And I think a huge part too, I've like talked about a lot, is, you know, when you become a parent, right, you lose all sense of control. But when we're a maiden and don't have children, like, we really do think we're controlling our lives. Like, there's a time where we do that. And so my experience, and I'm sure you felt similar, is like learning to let go of that control before, you know, because we find out over and over that we don't have control over this situation. And even if we did, and like, maybe we were really good in school, or like all these things that we could do and just like achieve, when it comes to becoming a parent, it's not that, it doesn't work that way. And so, yeah, letting go of that, like, trying to control situations is something I've learned, definitely. And that's been really helpful, and it will be extremely helpful once I'm a mom. So,
yeah, the control conversation reminds me of how life keeps showing us how we don't have control. Like, our ego always thinks it does. It always thinks we have control. And then things happen. We're like, oh, I do not have control. Like, when am I going to learn this? And I don't know. I don't think we ever get to an end point, because we have an ego that always thinks it's in control. There's no end point. But a long preconception phase and having that gift of time has shown me that trust is never an end destination, because getting pregnant, sustaining a pregnancy, then the birth process, and then breastfeeding, and then postpartum, and then motherhood, all of it. In motherhood, every day it's a lesson on trust, because the two-year-old, you know, has no idea what danger is. They just want independence and they want to explore. And they get into so many potential danger situations that mothers of toddlers are like, oh my gosh, my child survived today. Wow. And because every day is a lesson on trust. We think toddlerhood's dangerous, but then once the child's 16 years old and they have their own car and they have freedom and they could be doing God knows what, we don't know. We don't know. They're their own sovereign person. We have to trust, because what else are we going to do? All of it is an exercise on trust. There's never this end destination. And it's all a preparation, and it's a muscle of trust, just like muscle of gratitude. You know, you can have the weakest muscle of gratitude and literally have the richest life with money or relationships or whatever and not recognize it because you don't exercise your muscle of gratitude. And trust is that same muscle. Like, are you exercising it? Because that's where our choice is. It's just a practice.
The trust thing is so big because you're right. Like all of those experiences, birth, right? After motherhood, that part, like it's all like learning to just trust yourself and trust your intuition. And there's so many, especially with social media and all the things now, there's so many outside noise of like things you should be doing or things that your kid needs to do or experience. And yeah, it's just... I'm so glad that I know better now and I can just really like tune in and be like, what do I want? And what, you know, like tune into my child, what are their needs and really listen to them and what's best for us and our family. And so, yeah, so it's cool. And like the birth process, you know, that's a whole portal in trusting yourself and your body. And, yeah, I'm actually really looking forward to it. So
yeah, I'm so excited for you. Thank you so much. Is there anything else that you wanted to say, discuss, maybe say to anyone that's in the middle of their journey? You don't have to. I just like to offer this at the end.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, like just really tuning into your heart and into your wisdom. And finding the lesson within it, like finding what you need to get from this experience and not letting it define you and stay victim to what your circumstances are, because we all go through different adversities and challenges, but it's for a reason and you signed up for it, whether you want to believe that or not. And so, yeah, just like really finding the beauty within the hardships, you know, there is a lot of beauty to be found within it as well. And so just think that's important to remember. And it's hard to remember while you're in it, of course.
I'm so happy you said that, because that's what I see in my friends that are mothers, is that there's kind of always a new challenge. There's always a new challenge. Like, now this kid's not sleeping. And now this kid is having trouble at school. And now this kid, and now my husband's job is taking him away. And now we don't see him. Life is always giving a new challenge sometimes. And it's like, can we see beauty in the hard stuff? Because we will never bypass the hard stuff. Can we find peace and beauty in that trying time? Because there's not just one trying time. There's millions on this life path. We get a lot of practice.
Yep, unfortunately. Yes. Yes, get to keep practicing. I mean, I think as long as we're in a body, that's part of it. You don't get to bypass that. So, yeah, it's so true. And, yeah, it's definitely amplified once you're caring and, you know, providing for beings that are outside of you. So there's not, it's not just you that you're worried about now. Now it's their hardships too. And so it's really interesting, but so much to learn.
I know.
And I know I'm going to continue learning and growing, and it's just, yeah, it's really beautiful.